First John, please, chapter 5, verse 13. It is our text. We took these words as our text last Lord's Day, the first part of this message. So First John 5, verse 13, these things, and let me emphasize, these words to you have I written unto you, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. So it's the part of the verse especially that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We're thinking of the subject of saved and sure. And we asked the question at the beginning, let me do it again this morning. Are you saved? Remember how important that is, to have your trust in Christ. We've emphasized that in the children's address. And then we took that a step further and asked the question, are you sure? Are you sure, 100% sure that you're saved? And there can be a world of difference sometimes between the two. There are many people that have that lack of assurance of salvation. I'm not going to go over everything we touched on last Sunday morning. If you weren't able to be here, the recordings of that are available. You can download them free from Sermon Audio. We thought about the reality. It's a very real thing to lack assurance. We touched a little on the reason for it, why God's people lack assurance. There's two other parts or two other things I want to deal with this morning with the Lord's enabling. One is the result of the lack of assurance. What is the result of God's people lack assurance? They have those doubts. What results does that have in their life, in their relationship, especially with the Lord? What results does that have for that person as far as the cause of God is concerned? Let me tell you a story just quickly. Whenever they were building the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, during the first phase, the first part of that construction, 23 men fell from the bridge to their deaths. You can appreciate that became a great matter of concern. So whenever they entered into the second phase of the building, they made a very large net, a safety net, to hang below the bridge. It cost $100,000 to make the safety net. That was a lot of money away back then. But during the second phase of construction, 10 men fell from the bridge, at least 10, and were saved by the net. But one very significant factor that was noticed at that time was that there was 25% more work done during the second phase than during the first. And the reason for that 25% increase in work was because the workers were assured of their safety. And you know, brethren and sisters, it's the same for the Christian. If you lack assurance, that affects your whole life. It affects your whole service for Christ. The fact is, you can't live for the Lord as you ought. You can't live the Christian life in victory if you have a lack of assurance of salvation. Remember, this is a weapon of the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices, the New Testament tells us. And it's a weapon of the devil to make your life ineffective for Christ. And you need to see that and understand that today. You think of the apostles. What was it that changed their lives? What was it that made the difference? You remember at the cross, they were fearful. They fled. They were scared. But afterwards, they became bold and they suffered for the Lord. Some were martyred for the cause of the gospel. So what was it that made the difference? Well, it was the assurance. The assurance that the Lord Jesus had indeed risen again from the dead. And I want you to see today that the assurance of salvation, that will change. It will make a similar transformation in your life, in your service. You think of it like this. It will transform your prayer life. If you look at the next verse, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, He heareth us. The New Testament says in the book of Hebrews, let us come boldly onto the throne of grace. So there's the reality of prayer. Christians should have boldness. They should have confidence in the place of prayer when they approach the throne of grace. But you can't have it, brethren and sisters. You can't have that boldness and confidence if you're not sure in your own heart if you're really saved. The lack of assurance will rob you of power in the place of prayer. Think as well of soul winning efforts. Christians should be soul winners. We're to be fishers of men. But let me ask you, how can you win souls? How can you help somebody else into the kingdom of God if you have doubts in your own heart about your own salvation, your own standing before the Lord? Think as well of the matter of prayer, of power. If you're full of fear about your soul and about salvation, you can't have the power of God in your life. Latimer, you think of the reformers, Latimer and Ridley. Latimer wrote to Ridley once, he said, when he was settled and steadfast about his own salvation, he was as bold as a lion. But if that hope wavered, he was afraid and disqualified for service. So no assurance of salvation. It will rob you of the power of God in your life. Think as well of testimony. The psalmist said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The New Testament tells us we're always to be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within us. The Lord wants you to testify of him. One of the marks of salvation is confession of Christ. But you can't confess the Lord. You can't testify for him if you're not sure in your own heart if you're really saved at all. Think as well of the matter of death. It has been highlighted in our own congregation, our denomination, in recent days. The psalmist, that lovely Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What a blessing to die without fear, face eternity without fear. But if you lack assurance of salvation, brethren and sisters, you'll not die like that. You'll not die in peace. Michael Faraday, it's good to know that in the former day, some of the most prominent scientists were all believers. Michael Faraday was a believer. As he neared death, he was asked, what are your speculations now? His answer was, speculations I have none. I'm resting on certainties. And then he quoted Paul's words to Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I stress it to you, there's nothing more important when you come to die, nothing more important than to know that you have the assurance of salvation, to know that you're saved, to be sure that you're going to heaven. So do you see, brethren and sisters, how serious a lack of assurance is? Do you see how much of your life, not just your life in general, but especially your spiritual life, that is affected by a lack of assurance? You ask yourself, what is it today that is hindering you? What is it that's keeping you back in the Lord's work? Is it doubts? Continual doubts about your soul, about salvation? Do you suffer from this lack of assurance of which we speak this morning? If it is, then I urge you to deal with it, to sort it out. Because until you do, you really will be disqualified from serving the Lord as you ought. So there, brethren and sisters, is something of the result of the lack of assurance. But I want to finish with this positive message. That's the remedy for the lack of assurance. Thank the Lord, there is a remedy. Here is good news. This is something that can be dealt with, something that you can be delivered from in your heart and in your life. Do you remember last week, in the introduction, we talked a little about John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and Doubting Castle? Well, in that story, do you know how Christian got out of Doubting Castle? He got out with the key of promise. And that, brethren and sisters, is the remedy. That's the only remedy for your doubts, for your lack of assurance. The remedy is the promise of God, the key of promise. And the reality, brethren and sisters, is you have the key in your hands today, as you sit in this meeting, as you sit in the house of God. Think again of the words of our text, 1 John 5:13. These things, notice what it says, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. It emphasizes the importance of the written word of God. God has given us a book. God has written down his word for us. And it's the written word of God. Never undermine the importance of the Bible. It's the written word of God that deals with your doubts as a Christian. Here's one reason why God wrote the Bible. Here's one reason, one of the main reasons why John wrote this epistle. It's not to dazzle you, not to satisfy your curiosity, not to cause speculation. One of the main reasons is to give to you as his children the assurance of his salvation. The Puritans, what men of God they were, men of the book. They had a great way of summing up Bible doctrine. The Puritans would put it like this. It's a lovely little statement. I'd encourage you to learn it off yourself. It will help you when you're counseling people in these circumstances. The Puritans said, the blood of Christ, that puts your sins away. But it's the words of Christ that puts your doubts away. And that sums it up very well, men and women. Some put the same truth, just a different way. It's the blood that makes you safe, but it's the word that makes you sure. It's the word that gives you the assurance. Think of the children of Israel in Egypt on the night of the Passover. What was it that made them safe as the angel of death passed through the land? Well, it was the blood. The blood of the Lamb that was shed, and its blood applied to the doorposts and to the lintel. That's what made them safe. But what made them sure was the word. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So God's word, men and women, is the remedy, the only remedy. We've emphasized to you one in the meeting today. God's word is the remedy for the lack of assurance of salvation. Some of you are familiar with Napoleon, read a little of his life. He was inspecting his troops, on one occasion riding a horse. The horse got frightened, he dropped the reins. The horse bolted, his life was in danger. He reached down to try and grab the reins, but he was unable to do it. A private standing in the ranks saw the dilemma. The horse was coming in his direction. And great courage, great peril to his life, he stepped out and he caught the horse, caught it around the neck and brought it to a standstill. Napoleon was deeply grateful. He actually took off his hat to the private. He said to him, I make you the captain of my guard. Remember, he was a private. So he just set down his rifle and he marched up to where Napoleon's bodyguard was standing. The captain, the then captain, rebuked him, told him to go back to the ranks. He said, I will not. He said, why not? He said, I am now the captain of the guard. He said, who told you you were the captain of the guard? And he turned round and he pointed to the general, to Napoleon. The reality was, he took Napoleon at his word. You're the captain of the guard. And brethren and sisters, you need to do the same. You need to take the Lord at his word. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So I urge you today, take God at his word. Stand today upon the promise. Do you know the reason? Here's something very important in this subject. Do you know the reason why the Bible is the remedy? Why the Bible is the cure, the only cure of the lack of assurance of salvation? It's for this reason. God's word never changes. Never changes. Your circumstances will change. We've learned this year How quickly life can change, how quickly all our circumstances can change. So circumstances change. Your feelings change. Your feelings change from day to day. One day you feel good, another day you don't feel so good. The reality, sometimes your feelings can change from hour to hour. There's so many changes in life, but remember this. His word is always, always the same. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, forever. And his word, what is true, men and women, of the incarnate word is true of the inspired word. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The promise never changes. There was an evangelist, Major Whittle, preaching in Glasgow. During his ministry, he preached one night on one of the verses we read from John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed on to life. There's a woman in the meeting that message was blessed to her heart, and she came to Christ through Major Whittle's ministry. She came to speak to him afterwards. One of the things he did is he counseled her. He wrote out the verse on a card. He thought it would be good for her to take home, the verse that was used of God to bring her to Christ. The next morning when she got up, she was full of doubts. She was distressed. She burst into tears, sitting at the breakfast table. She said, "It's all gone. I thought I was saved, but I feel just the same, just as bad as ever." Her little boy, he's only 6 or 7, he had been at the meeting with her. He had sat in the inquiry room when the major had spoken to her. He said, "Mommy, has your verse changed? Let me go and see." Think of the simplicity of a child's mind. He ran to the bedroom and got the card, came back with a verse. He said, "Mother, it hasn't changed one little bit. The verse is still the same." And you know, his little testimony was used of God to dispel that mother's doubts. And that's the great truth, brethren and sisters. God's word has not changed. It hasn't changed one iota from the day that you believed it when you first were converted. And remember, it will not change. Will not change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this book will never pass away. And what you need to do is hold on to the promise. Stand upon it. And remember that in addition, we have the witness of the Spirit. The book of Romans teaches the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, when you get saved, one thing that happens, an amazing thing that happens, is the Spirit comes and dwells within you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell within you, you're not converted. And that's a very solemn thing. That means that this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not a solemn thing. If any man defile the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, him will God destroy. It's a very serious thing that the Spirit dwells within you. And that Spirit, men and women, when he comes and dwells, he speaks. He's doing a work, carrying out a ministry, speaks to your heart. And one of the things he does as he speaks is he confirms to you that you are the Lord's. Think of the words of the hymn writer. If one should ask of me, how can I tell? Glory to Jesus, I know very well. God's Holy Spirit with mine doth agree, constantly witnessing that Jesus loves me. So the Spirit assures us of God's salvation. And remember that as the Spirit speaks, he uses the word. The Spirit was the one that wrote the book, and he will use the book. He will speak through the word. And that's the reason why you need to read it every day. That's one reason why doubts enter into people's minds. That they're not feeding, not meditating, not studying the word, not coming to the meetings, sitting on to the ministry. Remember, this is one of the great means of grace. This is how the Spirit bears witness with ours. So saved and sure. What a blessing it is, men and women. Can I ask everyone in the meeting this morning, are you saved today? And are you sure of it? 100%? Absolutely. Not a cloud, not a doubt in your heart or in your mind. Let me finish just by telling you, I mentioned to you last week in the introduction about J. Wilbur Chapman. He was an apprentice evangelist under D.L. Moody. First time you ever met him, first time you ever heard him, was in a meeting in Chicago. It was a great thrill to wait behind afterwards and have Moody speak to him personally. Moody sat down and asked him a few questions. And he asked him the question, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Chapman wasn't sure. He said, Mr. Moody, sometimes I think I am, sometimes I think I'm not. Sometimes I'm full of doubts. Sometimes I'm sure and happy about it. So he was wavering. So Moody quoted to him, opened the Bible actually, at that verse. It's a key verse, men and women. Some of you involved in the Lord's work, occasions you have to counsel people, these are verses that it's good to know. 1 John 5:13, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. So Moody read the verse, and he said to Chapman, the young man, do you believe it? Do you accept it? Are you a Christian? And he said again, same thing he'd said a few minutes before, sometimes I think I am. Sometimes I'm afraid I'm not. And then Moody asked him this question, who are you doubting? So if you lack assurance, men and women, you need to ask that question today. The light of the promise of God. Who are you doubting? For the first time in his life, Chapman saw it. He was doubting God. He was doubting God's word. And Christian, if you're afraid today that you're not saved, who are you doubting? Because I can tell you this, it's not the minister. And it's not the Sunday school teacher. It's not the evangelist, whoever led you to Christ. Who are you doubting today? The reality is, it's the Lord you're doubting. It's his word. And that ought not to be so. There's not a reason in the world, men and women, not a reason in this world to doubt the promise of God. And when you see that truth, your doubts will be gone. And they will be gone. Gone completely and gone forever. So these things are written. Think of the importance of the written word of God. One of the reasons God gave you the blessing of the Bible. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, 100% know, it's not arrogant, not presumptuous, that ye may know that you have eternal life. I pray the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. We sang some